Is Phil still in the audience? How the hell do I follow that? I mean, seriously. So, a little bit about me. I'm Director of Account-Based Intelligence and Social Selling at Digital Leadership Associates. We are a global social-only management consulting business, and we help organizations in the B2B space understand what it means to embed social within the organization. I thought Katie's piece on GE is a classic, you know, brilliant case study of how to do it and how to do it well. And that stat that they saved themselves $6 million of paid media, I think kind of speaks for itself. So what I'm going to talk about today is very much from a B2B perspective. I've led this across a international law firm, most recently across a global commercial real estate organization, Jones Lang LaSalle. In the first full 12 months of us delivering a social selling program, we generated $500,000 net new business and built a pipeline of $4.9 million through 150 people on the pilot across all business lines. And these were fee earners, so these weren't salespeople or more marketing people. These were surveyors where they said, without understanding the change in behavior that needs to happen and without understanding the technology tools that are in place to help support this, I never would have done this. I never would have written that blog post. I never would have understood who that influencer is within the organization or uncovered that connection that we had. So today I'm going to talk about the five myths of social selling and dispel them. But I want to add a sixth for any of you that were traveling on the Northern Line today. Myth number one for that: if the train driver says the Victoria line is running a good service at Stockwell Station, so suggests you get off and change, that in fact is not a myth. Although, well, that is a myth, and the fact is that it is not running a good line, and I got off, couldn't even get to the Victoria line platform, and then had to wait for three Northern Line trains to come back through to try and get here. So, notwithstanding, we've just seen that apparently the youth generation is all about memes. When I talk about social selling, or talk about social in the B2B context, and this is typically at the older generation, so this is the BM, the baby boomers, the minute you talk about social, their immediate reaction is, it is all about memes, it is all about people. I learned a new word the other day, gramming their pictures of their dinner and stuff. And it's this mindset that you have to try and shift, is that there is more to social than just pictures, and especially within you know, within the B2B space. And we've touched on this a lot with Brian, with Katie earlier, and with Phil. This is all about activating your network. This is all about bringing the networks to life. And social can be LinkedIn, it can be YouTube, it can be Twitter, it can be Facebook, it can be Instagram. You know, referring back to what, you know, Phil was saying, you know, fish where the fish are. Put the content where your audience is. So social selling is about bringing that network to life and selling through your network, not to your network. So notwithstanding that content typically is not a problem for corporates, although, dare I say it, it can be quite, it's a very big brand, it's quite shouty, it's quite us or me about the organization rather than necessarily about what the business problem the individual is trying to solve. When we're speaking with organizations to try and articulate what social selling is about, this is about moving that content through the trusted network. So for example, if you are an organization who sells technology into the marketing sector, are you activating your marketing team to actually share that content into their peer network to help the sales function push their message? Because marketing to marketing is going to be more trustworthy than a salesperson pushing a sales message. Likewise, if you sell a solution that supports the financial services sector, are you activating your finance team, your finance director, your accountants, your accounting team, to move that content into their trusted networks to help sell the message that you are trying to deliver? Social selling is impersonal. And again, we get a lot of this or a lot of pushback that if I'm just sharing stuff into the network, then you know who's going to see it? Nobody's going to see it. I'm not going to be found. All these kind of challenges and pushback that we get. We can always tell when an organization is trying to engage in an employee branding or an employee advocacy program and when they're doing it badly, because forgive the term, but we refer to it as corporate vomit. And you just see the employees just literally just going, bleh. It's that picture of the vomiting rainbow. Who knew? Vomiting rainbows. They're just sharing content into their network without any thought, without any context, without any process as to why they are doing this. If you gamify it, then people just will game the system just to be at the top of the leaderboard, and they are absolutely trying to share everything just to be number one, which actually could be more damaging to their personal brand, because the individual or the audience that they're trying to reach is going, well, are you an expert in the industrial sector or the retail sector, or you're an expert in tax, or you're an expert in audit, or you're an expert in SaaS, or you're an expert in mainframes? You know, what is it that you want to be famous for? But actually, if you get social selling right, it can be hyper, hyper personal. And it can be as simple as, yes, GDPR is going to have a massive impact on how we email contact with your audience. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I can't remember the last time that I actually opened a marketing email. And I think what is fascinating for me is I'm yet to receive a single email from any brand I subscribe to asking me if I'm happy to have my details on their marketing database. And GDPR comes in May. But an example of where social selling worked for me in terms of through the email platform, and this was B2C, my two-year-old, she's called Olivia. We buy stuff from Mothercare. They've obviously got data on us, and the fact that we also told them at some point that my daughter was called Olivia. Email came through, and the headline was, "Wouldn't Olivia look pretty in this?" It got me straight away. I opened it because it gets to that me. It makes it about me. Social selling in the B2B space, if you build your personal brand, if you, referring back to Katie's point in GE, tell your why. Why is it you do what you do? What is it that makes you you? Why do you care about coming into work every day? And in a sales capacity, this is still critical. And I think that we can go off on a tangent here. I think that sales needs to look at itself and reinvent itself in terms of what it actually stands for, right through from commission structures and processes. And I know Paul from Pitney Bowes is going to be sharing his fantastic story of how he's implemented this at Pitney Bowes later on. But if you make it about the audience, you can make it as personal as you like. And we get questions around, okay, well, what happens if nobody likes your content? What happens if the content doesn't resonate? I want likes, I want shares. And Brian touched on it. Have we now moved into the vanity metrics of this? And for those of you that follow me, you'll see I've written a very ranty blog around the SSI score, which is LinkedIn Social Selling Index, about if you have a high SSI, then you're social selling. You're not. But for me, if the content resonates with the audience in a personal way, I don't care if it gets one like. If that creates a piece of inbound to me, I read that, I saw that video, somebody recommended I should speak to you, that for me means it's working. Social selling is all about technology. How many in the audience have been wowed by some kind of platform that's either been sold to you by LinkedIn or some marketing automation platform or data analytics platform, intent data, sentiment data, all this kind of stuff? Hands up. I mean, everybody must have some kind of, hands up going up, it's fantastic. Social selling is not about technology. The problem is, as humans, we like to see something, touch something, feel something. We get sold the shiny object that this is going to solve our problems. There is now technology solving the problem of technology, which is supposed to solve the original problem we were trying to solve. And we're just layering just more and more, sales and marketing technology on top of the stack, making it ever more complicated. And then what happens is social selling doesn't work. So the concept of social selling doesn't work because it's not getting the outputs that we require. Because you're wowed by the technology and you put the technology into the organization and you expect people to understand what this means and how it's going to change, you know, change their the way that they work. People, process, and technology. I know that you all know this. I know that you do. And also with technology today, because so much of it is now cloud-based, don't let IT get involved. The minute IT get involved, then you start to lose it. I remember when I launched Sales Navigator at JLL, got a phone call from the IT director in Europe going, well, why weren't we involved? I was like, what's it got to do with you? Well, it's LinkedIn, it's IT. I said, IT, all I need you to do is give me good Wi-Fi, which I know is a stretch at the best of times, but everything else, it's just a link, they click on it, and you know, off we go. This is about, and I'm reflecting on Katie's fantastic presentation from GE, you've got to change the people's mindset first. You've got to bring them round to understanding why social today is so critical. So back to my point around, this is about selling through your network and not to your network. But in order to have that network to sell through to, you need to have it in the first place. So sometimes, you know, we are working with organizations where it's actually getting people to understand that LinkedIn has an app, that LinkedIn is more than just your private connections, that it could help unlock an opportunity for somebody else across the business. And if you're not using CRM systems and you're not connecting on a network, then how the hell are you expected to move that relationship forward? Or typically what happens is somebody else in another part of the organization will go into a client relationship, they have no idea that it's always at the critical moment of some deal or transaction that's happening. And then the client phones up, the relationship manager goes, well, do you guys not talk to each other internally? Why the hell have I got this individual trying to sell me something when you know well that we're not interested in that because we've been talking about this? It's a people thing. You all have, as organizations, B2B or B2C, it doesn't matter, the basics that you need to engage with social and social selling, which is linked with any of the five, six social networks that are out now. In B2B, it is primarily going to be LinkedIn and Twitter. There will be a CRM system of sorts, and there will be, I hope to God, some kind of marketing automation platform or some kind of marketing web analytics so you can track the customer journey from we don't know who they are through to they're now ready to have a conversation and what has that buyer done on that digital journey. Once you're able to articulate the process that the buyer needs to go down, and your sales team have all sold their products a million times before. If it's a consumer perspective, you should understand how people buy from you. The fact that we're apparently searching for the best toothbrush, I mean, you go into Google, you type in the best of, or how do I, you'll find me, and then the stuff that starts to, that come up. Once you understand that buying process, then you start to look at the technology that will augment, support, and in some contexts, they will replace, but from a positive side, rather than actually replacing roles, it will free up the individuals in sales or marketing to add more value in their day jobs rather than necessarily doing the daily grind. This is a big challenge that we get, is that if you engage in social selling, there is no ROI on it. It is difficult to, you know, to prove. You can record the 100 phone calls, you can record the call time, the meeting times, but social, you can't monitor social. You can't prove that social or social selling has no ROI. I actually hate the term social selling there. I said it. I hate the term digital marketing. It's just sales and marketing in the 21st century. Why do we have to call it something? Actually, social selling is proven. And social selling is actually more for me around the lead generation and the opportunity creation. So in simple terms, and you'll have to bear with me because I'm not a numbers person, but the way that we look at it, if we are going to go and coach a sales team of 10 people on what it means to be social, and their average order value is £10,000 across a given 12-month sales cycle, we believe, and we know through what I've led at the law firm and at JLL and from other metrics of other organizations that we work with, that if they execute the systems and processes that we put in place to be social and engage with social selling, that salesperson should be generating at least one business opportunity per month through social. Now that could be inbounds, that could be they've reached out proactively and made a connection request or referral, it could be they've written a blog post, it could be any type of social interaction. So you've got 10 people in the sales team doing $10,000 opportunity worth a month, times that by 12, the opportunity value is 1.2 million. You can start to work out what the opportunity value of your network, of your organization is using those same metrics, and then just split it by a third, which is the infographic behind me. Where social selling falls down or where social selling gets the negative rap in terms of it doesn't work is there's that disconnect between, back to the people piece, is that salespeople need to help marketing by recording that social, that lead, that inbound came from social, recorded into the CRM system. It then requires the people aspect to record phone call, meeting, pitch, win, revenue. And until now, that's been pretty difficult to track through the entire life cycle, but the technology there now exists to support that. So if you look at what Microsoft is doing with the integration of LinkedIn into its business, Sales Navigator pretty much syncs with any CRM system out there. I know that the journey that they sell isn't as great as it is in real life, but this comes back to the people, process, technology piece. If you can get the people to understand the process they need to undertake in order to prove social and the ROI of it, all of a sudden, you'll then be able to start to prove a great story. You know, as Katie even, you know, proved from a recruitment perspective, those concepts are exactly the same. $6 million saved in terms of paid media. Over time, you will be able to start to see we are spending tens of thousands on these seminars or these events, and we're getting nothing versus the inbound that we're now generating because our sales and marketing function are working together. And in fact, I believe the entire organization can be activated on social from a marketing perspective, but from a sales message perspective, and it blends nicely with the employee branding perspective from recruitment side of things. That all of a sudden you'll start to move the shift of that £10,000 into events, into online, into social. Even if you start to drive this correctly, then you're moving to earned media rather than paid media. And as you know, Brian said in his opening session that you know pay to play is influencer 1.0. We're now an influencer 2.0. I get this all the time. So these are our friends, the Luddites, smashing up the printing presses. My market is not social, and I just get so much fun, I suppose, in terms of proving, especially in a B2B space, that actually the market is social. So one of the first things that you can do is actually just to type a hashtag into Google. So hashtag real estate, hashtag marketing, hashtag SaaS, hashtag whatever it might be, and that will show you how many online conversations are happening around that given topic. So I'm working with a couple of law firms at the moment. The next thing that you can do, if you're fortunate enough to have LinkedIn Sales Navigator, which is, in my view, the best lead generation platform on the planet from a B2B perspective, if you understand what it means to be social, you can move into their advanced search filter and just start to type in job titles. And then the system will start to filter how many people are in that job title within the entire half a billion people that are on LinkedIn? How many people have changed jobs in the last 90 days? So these individuals have actively gone into the platform to update their profiles. It then moves through to how many people have mentioned it in the press. So it starts to surface where they're mentioned in the press. It then has a filter of how many people have actually posted into LinkedIn on the last 30 days. And when you can sit in a room full of lawyers and prove that general counsel is now sharing actively, monthly, into LinkedIn, then I challenge any other industry out there to say that their industry is not social. Notwithstanding, the latest filter that LinkedIn have added into Sales Navigator is you can now actually search on content keywords and people's articles. So if you market to or you sell to around a particular keyword, you can actually now find out who is writing those particular keywords within LinkedIn articles in a social context. Anybody seen this slide before? No hands up? So this is the challenger sale process, which was part of this, part of CEB research, which happens every happens yearly. They've now been bought by Gartner 6 months ago. And typically what this is saying, they survey regularly 3,000 buyers of B2B businesses across multiple service lines. And this nominal 57%, what the respondent said is typically by the time they choose to, so when they are ready to engage with a vendor of services in a B2B context, they are already 57% through their due diligence process. So this is not saying, hi, I'm now ready to buy that, you know, high value, complex, legal advice, SaaS platform, marketing platform, finance platform, whatever it is. What this is saying is that I've done as much research as I want to on you and the organization, but primarily you as a person that I now want to have a conversation with. And this is why it is now critical in the 21st century that sales and marketing sales have to work with each other. Because what you need to be doing in the context of social and social selling is disrupting and influencing that nominal 57%. Now, it could be that they get to 20%. It could be that they get to 90%. In the B2C space, I would argue that most things are at 90%. And Brian shared earlier that most people going to Google don't even know what they're looking for. You know, from my perspective, I go into Amazon to solve a problem. I want to find the solution to the problem, not the brand. If you think about from a B2B perspective, a finance director is not going to go to finance director one, to finance director two, can you recommend me an accounting software package? Because everyone knows that you've got the likes of Sage and so on and so forth. They're going to say, can you recommend me someone who can help me solve this problem? And that is then why it is absolutely critical from a sales perspective that someone has an amazing personal brand, they're sharing relevant, interesting content, they have that trusted network, back to my earlier slide around social and social selling is about activating your networks and selling through your networks and not to your networks, because you can bet your bottom dollar that in every single organization, they will be at some point on this journey. If you then start to layer that with marketing data, so have they come to our website? What pages have they looked at? What have they downloaded? What has their buying journey been on this nominal 57%? If you coach your salespeople to take that approach, that means they can have a completely and utterly different conversation with their target client or customer, because they know that they are at some point along this journey through that self-education. So from my perspective, I do not actually see the sales function, if you engage in this properly and correctly, as selling anymore. This is actually about enabling the purchase. You're helping the client, the target customer, client, whatever you want to call it, move along that journey to, you know, the 100% mark. Notwithstanding the presentation from Phil at Copper 90, the younger generation that are coming through in terms of how they choose to engage with content, and as they start to move up the line in terms of being decision makers and influencers, if you do not have a digital personal brand as a salesperson, then you are going to be on a massive hiding to nothing. With 1 minute and 30 seconds to go, I hope I've dispelled the 5 myths of social selling.